Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Tom Fairbanks, engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Tom and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is March the 6th, 2015. Hope you had a great week. Looking forward to a good weekend. I could do, Tom, without this wind. I do not like 35-mile-an-hour winds, especially when it comes out of the east. It just kind of makes me, I don't know, I just don't like it. How's that? We are live weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream and podcast the show for anywhere in the world listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And you can also stream the show at kvoi.com. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, seated next to me in studio, Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll, a Republican who represents the 4th Supervisorial District. Joining me in studio to question Supervisor Carroll, Dan Scheer is here. Speaking of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, Dan is the fine editor for those two publications. If you'd like to join in the conversation, if you have a question or comment for Mr. Carroll, call in now. Don't wait till the end of the program. Normally, when we do some of these Friday shows, everybody calls about 25 minutes after the hour. So call now if you've got a question for Ray Carroll. Facebook, the Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster. We're just now, what are we, three friends away from 4,000. So Tom, if you're on Facebook, you might want to become a friend. Anyway, how are you, Dan Scheer?
Oh, doing great, and I agree with you. Wind is my most despised form of weather.
You know, it's just something about that easterly wind. I've kind of been in the past, luckily, knock on. Is there any wood to knock on? Been a migraine sufferer in the past, and it seems like the easterly winds really are migraine makers. Supervisor Carroll, how are you?
Doing great, Bill. Thanks so much for having me on the program today. And hello, Dan.
Hello.
We always like to, if we can, break a little news here on the Friday show. And Supervisor Carroll was on the phone about 2 minutes before air today, being informed of what pertaining to Rosemont Mine. And
well,
it pertains to Rosemont.
It's a Rosemont Mine issue. It was an appeal done by the Save the Scenic Santa Ritas on the air quality permit that was granted by the state of Arizona for the Rosemont Copper Mine. And Bill, it was a victory for the Save the Scenic Santa Ritas. The permit was given illegally, and an approval that was illegal. It has now been sent back to ADEQ, the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, for it's a major setback. And the air quality review now will have to look at the appeals and all the other stakeholders and their input on this. I think it's the first in a list of what's going to be our setbacks in the legal front for the old Augusta Rosemont, which has now been picked up by HUD Bay on the 5-yard line, and they kind of thought they're going to be able to run this thing 95 yards for a touchdown, Bill. And I certainly think that with the appeal on the water quality permit that was granted, I also believe it'll end up in the same way. I can't say for sure, but I voted for it to be appealed. And I think that was the kind of thing that happens with when you're trying to play favorites for a copper mine like that from state agencies. You're going to get brought back to the goal line.
You're saying they're on the 1-yard line or 2 yards?
Absolutely 1-yard line. My whole position on this mine was that they should have dropped the environmental impact statement that was prepared by the last company. They should have done better science and better review and given a new process to open up for the HUD Bay goodwill and good intentions and good corporate citizenship.
Well, let's bring in Dan Scheer. And I've known Dan since he's been the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun for 6 years, which kind of coincides with the beginning of the whole Rosemont project. And Dan, I think you've been on record pretty much all along that despite these setbacks, you believe Rosemont probably, or will, not probably, will get through.
Absolutely, I think it will. And, you know, shortly after I arrived here, Save the Scenic Santa Rita's asked me to meet with them, and they kind of gave me the rundown on what was going on. So I have been following it fairly closely for the past 6 years because it's right on our doorstep in Green Valley and Sahuarita. And I agree with Ray that it's on the five-yard line, but I think they're about to run it in. I don't think that this decision today really is going to, it's going to delay them, but it's not certainly not going to stop them. I have to ask you, Ray, do you think this mine is going to be approved? Not do you want it to be, because we know you don't, but really this is not a popularity contest here.
Well, I know that, Dan. I've been as much as anyone in the trenches on this issue.
Absolutely,
for
you have.
All the years of my career.
Yes.
All five terms have included this Save the Scenic Santa Rita's group as part of my list of stakeholders that I've been representing. Now, it's in the hands of HUD Bay, but you still have two agencies, Environmental Protection Agency and the Corps of Engineers, who have very harsh criticism right. of the past project, and it's not been changed by HUD Bay, and I think that's to their detriment. And I do think you're not going to get past those two agencies. Veto power, Dan, is what I'm talking about from the beginning when it comes to the watershed and the drinking water, the fresh water that's going to be taken from our constituency in Green Valley. You know, Dan, if you take a man's water, I don't expect him to vote for you.
I agree with you, but what you told us today was that maybe this air quality permit had been given illegally, but it doesn't mean they didn't meet the standard. So really you're saying they just have to go jump through a few more hoops here. And again, we're right up the middle. We're not taking a stance on Rosemont, but we do understand that at some point you have to accept what's been happening, especially over the last year and a half, that this thing is rolling ahead. And now with HUD Bay in there, who had much more experience than Augusta Resource at pulling off this type of a thing, there's a very realistic chance that it's going to happen.
Well, I have to say they're better financed, of course, and they're sure. more experienced, and they're more international and universal in all respects. But I will say on this subject, Dan, I'm counting my experience and my national precedents that I've looked at, and just the understanding of this issue, to say that it won't be approved is an investment. I don't think it was the right one for HUD Bay to make, and I've said that all along.
Okay, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. I asked folks to call in early so they wouldn't all come in at 25 past the hour. Matthew took me up on that, and he's up first on the live line. Go ahead, Matthew.
First of all, Supervisor Carroll, I think that you are to be commended no matter how the HUD Bay situation turns out, because you're thinking logically, and you're also thinking in the best interests of the city of Tucson, the Pima County, and Southern Arizona, and the state as a whole. I really respect how you continue. You're taking a very hard position, and it's cost you a lot of support out there, but you should be given tremendous respect for the way you're deliberating a very difficult issue.
Thank you.
You have a question?
We're in a complicated situation right now overall in the county. I apologize for the long call.
Real
I'm
quick.
I'm going to cut it short.
Okay.
I want to talk about the bonds. I do not have I am not taking a position one way or another. And I know the board hasn't taken their position yet. They're listening. And I listened to the comments from all the parties. But the reason I believe that that you guys can't move forward on the bonds as enthusiastically as you normally felt you would have probably a year and a half ago is your concern over property taxes, which I am absolutely concerned about. And the only, and I'm just going to throw this out there, my only suggestion to you is until you alleviate the concern of the public that you have really gone over your budget and found efficiencies. And
okay.
really, I mean, we need to streamline government so that the public has faith that you really are spending the money as judiciously and as
okay,
smartly
Matthew.
As needed in order for them to support the costs that are coming down on the public, whether it be property taxes Everything's going up.
All right.
Let me respond.
Thank you, Matthew.
That's just my thought.
Okay.
And I'm going to just let you follow up on it.
That's a good observation, and it's absolutely 100% true. You'll never have the confidence of the voters unless you make sure they understand the fiscal issues of Pima County. And right now, we have a very stable AA bond rating, but it's about the property taxes. It's about what's being shifted onto us by the state this year is going to add up to about $100 million, and a third of our property tax rate is going to be going to fixed state shifts and state gaps and things that they put mandates on us to spend on that really is going to be better clarified, kind of like our Roads to Recovery Facts About Transportation Funding brochure. I think we should have to put out a separate line that says, here's what the state costs you as taxpayers in Pima County and the other 14 counties this year. I'm on the county supervisors statewide, and I'm telling you, they're incensed. The budget up there has just turned into a complete shifting all costs onto the taxpayers' backs of the counties. But I want to get back to what you said. Ramon Valadez has this year scheduled budget hearings. I've been pushing for. Others have been pushing for. It's important that we go ahead and have the transparent discussion. All the people can come down and shoot over emails or texts about and calls about what they think are the pros and cons of our budget and what they think the pros and cons of our priorities are. I'm willing to listen to them. I always have been, and my number at the office is 740-8094. But all the rest of the supervisors is 740-8126.
Okay. All right, it's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Ray Carroll is here. We went a little long on that first segment. Josh and John are holding, and if you want to get in, hopefully we'll get as many calls in as possible before the bottom of the hour. Dan Shear will also be sticking around. We'll be right back.
Over yonder, what do you see? The sun is rising, most definitely. A new day is coming.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off featuring Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash, plus a newsmaker interview with the University of Arizona President, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Buckmaster each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, and always on buckmastershow.com. That's the place for anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and show archive.
I don't hardly know her, but I think I could love her. Crimson and clover.
Tommy and the Shondells. Tommy James and the Shondells. On Friday, we try to do a little 60s bump music. And I knew about their big hit, of course, Crystal Blue Persuasion. Tom Fairbanks, engineering the show, said, well, they did have more than Crystal Blue Persuasion. They had this one, which is, what is this one? Crystal and, no, this one is Crimson and Clover. Yeah, so they did have more than one hit. But will they have enough for a third bump music, Dan? I don't know about that, whether Tom can pull it out. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show. Ray Carroll is here, Pima County Supervisor. Got about 10 minutes left. Dan has a quick question, then we'll go to the phones. I promise, got about three calls stacked up. Go ahead,
okay,
Dan.
Okay, the bond going this year. Are you comfortable with the voters weighing in on this in November? And if so, is there a sweet spot that we should have as far as a number goes? Because $650 million, I can tell you, is not going to fly with people. What are we looking at? Is it going to happen?
I think it will happen. I'm not sure exactly of the number, as you said. I think there's going to have to be some sweet spot polling that's done first. I supported the animal care bond last November, as you well know, and really worked hard to get that one passed. It was 59-41. It was a very easy thing to sell for us. It wasn't too complex. It was one project with a bunch of cute puppies and kittens that we could throw all over the brochure. This one's a lot more complicated and difficult to sell. And it's going to be dominated, in my opinion, if this board has three votes for it, it's going to have to be dominated now by some infrastructure, road money, bridge money, airport money, things like that that are going to help move commerce in this community and build a better transportation system for businesses. Businesses bring a lot of influence to the state. They've fallen short on getting any road money. I'm going to tell you this truthfully and right from the heart. We have had so much shifting on us by the feds and state from their obligations on road money. The intransigence when it comes to gas taxes or any other pass-throughs to us is just embarrassing as a Republican. When they start telling me it's about federalism, I ask them, go back and read a little more Jimmy Madison. At one time, we had more money coming in, and today we have a third of that coming in. So it's, again, our own Republican Party that's stalemated on any increase. They've taken $1 billion over the years from us on HERF road money in the state. We're really upset about it as legislative victims. The County Supervisors Association, our legislative budget meetings this morning, they were rife. Even the Tea Party Patriot members are incensed.
Okay, let's go to the calls. We've got three waiting. John, I believe, is up first. Go ahead, John.
Bill, may I suggest the third bump be Tommy James's Moni Moni.
Did they also have a hit called Hanky Panky, or was that another group? No, Tom's saying... Oh, okay. All right. All right. Okay, John, go ahead. Thanks.
Ray, you took it right out of me because there's not a penny right now for infrastructure. It's all open space. How do you think that that would ever pass if there's not any money for transportation in there?
John, they've got to have they really have to have some finally now discussions with board members and really root out some of the concerns that our constituents have had. I've been doing what I call a road tour. I've been talking to chambers of commerce all across the county, and each and every one of them is saying, we need roads, we need bridges, we need airport improvements, we need Davis-Monthan and Raytheon protected. We don't need more open space, Ray. And remember, I helped an open space bond package pass once. I'm sure there are some parcels that are for historic preservation or other purposes necessary now. But right now, I'm telling you, the feedback I'm getting is entirely from business people looking for more road money. If they're going to be the ones who pay for this campaign, they better be listened to.
Next up is Josh. Go ahead, Josh. You're with Ray Carroll.
Thanks. Ray, just a quick question for you. Everyone's whining about how much the state has taken. Pima County's at the bottom of every list, whether it's poverty, job creation, job wages. How much has Pima County paid to fight Rosemont Copper?
Oh, good. That's a good question. Oh gosh, we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to do what's holding people's feet to the fire, and we've been vindicated on much of the monies that we have spent because it's produced, like I've said, appeals that have been setbacks to the plan. And when you have a plan that is so glaring that it has judges and EPA and Corps of Engineers blistering them and reporting that this is a slipshod effort, I'm glad they were there, and I'm glad we spent the money. It's my district, Josh, that I have to preserve the public safety, health, and welfare of. And when you're taking our drinking water and discharging toxic water out the other side of that mine and leaving me a stale lake in the middle of an open pit in the future, I'm talking about protection that's going to be to the every last ounce of effort I have.
Yeah, but Ray, do you have a more firm number on that? You say hundreds of thousands of dollars. Do you have a more firm number on what the county has spent?
Not off the cuff, Dan. I would never try to pin down a number, but I can get back to you if you want to do an editorial about it. I think we can justify each and every dollar we've spent, because most every dollar we've spent has been double-checking their facts. For the old Augusta especially, and we've proven to be mostly right.
Okay, Dr. John is up next. Dr. John,
you had some hits in the 60s.
Yes, I think so. Go ahead.
Hi, Ray. This is Dr. John calling in from Oral Valley. I want to get back to the Rosemont mine situation. I hope there's time to address this question. What, in your opinion, needs to be done succinctly to bring the mine into accord with healthy air and water quality standards, and do you think this would be doable?
Okay.
Well, I first think that ASARCO uses cap water. They use it directly to their mine site. That was the first real, I think, transparent oversight that Augusta started, and Hudbay will not change their position on. They want to use our fresh drinking water at the mine site. They want to pump it out of the wells of Green Valley up and over the mountains and wash rocks with it, Dr. John. And I'm going to tell you on that front, that's our viable drinking, potable drinking water. And if you're going to then promise to replace that someday with cap water, I got news for you. Talk to Vegas, Phoenix, and the western cities in California, who are all also saying they want those monies and they want those dollars and they want those waters. And it means that our economy will be crushed. When you talk about it, I think the number one issue is water. I've said that for the last 15 years. But in the end, the air quality is what just had another setback for them. Air quality, water quality, I don't know if they're going to be able to cure those huge deficits they have already with our public and with the science behind granting these permits.
Okay, Dan, jump in here. We're just about out of time.
Well, I'm not going to jump in Rosemont's defense, but I will say that they had been talking about dry stack tailings, which is a system used down in South America, has not been used in the continental United States that I know of, but if so, it would be a huge water savings. Ray? I know.
How about a windy day like this, Dan? How do you think those dry tech tailings are going to work. You and Bill were talking earlier about the hellacious
winds. Yeah.
They always come out of the Rosemont Valley. They always blow up here right out of the Santa Rita Mountains.
Yeah, I hate 35-mile-an-hour winds.
Well, Ray, you're forgetting, though, that in Green Valley and Saurita, we do live in the shadow of different mines, and these things are 70, 80 feet tall, and when the wind blows, they are supposed to keep it down. So they do. There are rules there. So
yeah, but I've been in Green Valley when the entire... what southern half of Green Valley was covered in this very viscous kind of a molasses type settlement on people's homes and driveways and cars and animals.
Are you anxious for the so-called pod people to move on?
I do believe the pod people should move on, Bill. I've attended city council meetings. I've looked at all the homelessness projects that the county has worked on for assistance from Fed grants and HUD and CDBG outside agency funds over the years. Downtown is not currently occupied with the true face of homelessness, in my opinion, and they're not helping the cause of the homeless. The image being presented is not helpful to church or nonprofit groups who rely on charitable donations to serve the homeless. It's not helpful to the businesses and government agencies. Over the years, I've been in a lot of darkened storefronts walking past. I've seen a lot of traffic cones and fenced-in vacant lots downtown. We're finally seeing the light. And now we're seeing just what I think is a public protest gone awry, diminishing returns, and it's beginning to fester on the business community and even the church groups and nonprofits that have offered these folks services and have been rebuffed at every turn.
It's 12:31. We want to thank Ray Carroll for coming in. Dan Scheer will stick around. Jim Nensel is going to join us for our Friday roundtable. Mr. Carroll, I hope you have a great weekend. You have one more item you would like to bring to our attention?
It's a Friday in Lent, folks, and it's time not to eat meat tonight, don't forget, but also join me and the Bishop Kikanis at the St. Augustine Cathedral at 5 o'clock for the Stations of the Cross. Our Knights of Columbus will be serving food. It'll cost just a return on that, of just the cost of cooking it. And, Bill, I'm on the parish council there. There's no prettier place, in my opinion, for a space for mind, body, and soul than the cathedral. And please come down 192 South Stone, see the Stations of the Cross after 5, and help us pray.
Thank you, Supervisor Carroll. 12:32. Tom, take us out here at our mid-break, please. We'll be right back.
Children behave. That's what they say when we're together. And watch how you play. They don't understand.
Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, featuring today the music of Tommy James and the Shondells, and I've learned that they had more than one hit. Jim Nintzel joining us. Jim, how are you?
I'm great. Tom, anytime you got Tommy James and the Shondells on, I'm having a good day.
On the same show of these people, my goodness.
What a band.
For folks that don't know who Jim Nintzel is, he's senior writer for the Tucson Weekly, award-winning writer, and he also has been doing and now a weekly TV show. Zone of Politics, 9:30.
We're actually 9 a.m. this week. There's some NBA action going on, so they've pushed us back for the next few weeks.
On Channel 9.
We're going to be on at 9 a.m. on 9.
So. With the new set.
New set.
Looks
boy,
good.
I'll tell you, we have been working on this thing for a couple of months now, and we've got a much brighter look.
You I got rid really, of the black curtain.
The Charlie Rose look is what I like to refer to it
the
as.
The black curtain and that. No, it's a new set. And
We're very excited. I hope folks, if they haven't tuned in, will tune in. Definitely to give us a look and see what we're doing. We've got a big preview of the Festival of Books this week, which is, of course, coming up next weekend. And we've got Margaret Regan talking about her new book, On the Border. I know she's a frequent guest on your show.
Tuesday she'll be with us.
And we've got Elizabeth Evans, a local novelist, talking about her new book, and Brenda Viner from the festival talking about what folks can expect out there. And I think it's a terrific show, and I can't tell you how excited I am about the new look. The makeover. We've had a makeover.
There you go.
And it's really terrific.
Dan Scheer with us, of course. Dan sticks around from our interview with Ray Carroll. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. Gentlemen, this pushing the budget, Republican leadership just really decided they wanted this budget deal done this week. This thing kind of came out of the blue, Dan. It was pretty fast, wasn't it?
Yeah, they generally don't work too much on Fridays, and they even may go into tomorrow.
Well, what's the hurry here?
We'll have to see. I don't know, but it looks like they have an agreement, you know, between the GOP and the governor, but I don't know that they would have enough support to get this thing all the way through. So today is the day where they're really doing all the pushing, and we'll see if they can get it through. We've seen, you know, a lot of what's in there, and some good and some bad, but I think there's going to be some deal making, some amendments before the day is out.
Yeah, we'll see. I think, you know, in the past, certainly budgets got a lot more attention and a chance for the public to weigh in. This whole idea of slamming it through in 3 days is, I think, designed to keep the public from being able to weigh in. They don't want to see, you know, you've seen protests yesterday down here in Tucson. You saw them up in Phoenix. And they don't want to have people have a chance to say, hey, this is a bad deal. These education cuts run too deep. These higher ed cuts run too deep. These other cuts are just too much.
Zeroing out community colleges.
Zeroing out
Pima now colleges. Loses all state funding.
Yeah, and it's just these cuts are very dramatic, and they know they're not going to be popular, and they know they don't want to endure headlines and allow people to actually analyze what they're doing up there, and that's why they're pushing this through at such a rapid clip. And the question is, the education community and other folks peel off enough Republicans to join with Democrats to block this? And I think that's the open question, and we'll find out over the next 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, but you have to look at it from both sides, Jim, where it's maybe they're going to ram it through, but everybody knows that in coming weeks and months, they're going to have to answer for what they did, and it will be brought up time and again. So there still may be, you know, paying of the piper here, but you're right. They're definitely jamming it through faster than I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be these things would go down. Budget was sort of the last thing of the session, and there was quite a bit of give and take, as you say, public hearings. This just goes, you're saying it's almost like a let's get this thing done and avoid criticism.
I think that's it. It used to be you'd have appropriation hearings and folks could come in and from various departments, and they'd say, well, this would be the impact of these cuts, and they'd be able to testify and weigh in, and there's just no opportunity to do that. I mean, everything went through appropriations yesterday. We've got this push on again to try to get this thing passed over the weekend, which is highly unusual for any legislation unless it's the very end of the session, and I just find it to be an effort to keep the public from being able to weigh in and let folks know what's going on.
And we keep hearing that K through 12 will be spared cuts. The agreement calls for $102 million, Dan, more for schools than in the current budget. But doesn't this reflect increases in inflation and enrollment growth anyway?
Right. And again, and down where we are in Sahuarita, where we're growing quite a bit, and we have been, you know, in the 6 years I've been there, always having to deal with, they've built two schools and they're planning a third since I've been down there. So this kind of throws a special little kink in it for us, but if they're not being touched as heavily as higher education, then you have to wonder why they all decided to band together yesterday and have this press conference that says this is going to hurt. And it could be a shifting of the funds from, you know, outside of the classroom into the classroom or whatever. But I think what they're saying is, let us figure out our own districts and spend the money as we see fit. And oh, by the way, the state owes us $330 million.
And that's an excellent point. I mean, the courts have ruled that the state has the legislature has shortchanged districts for years now. I mean, they left unresolved is the question of whether they have to pay back years, and that's still an open question before the court. But the lawmakers feel like they do not need to pay this money. They've come up with their own calculation of how much they should have to pay, and you know that's playing out in the courts. But if the courts rule against them, then you know you have another giant budget hole, and you have to wonder if the legislature would even follow a court order. Certainly many times in the past they've just said, well, you know, the courts have ruled, now let them enforce it.
Right. So. Good luck.
Dan, we talked Rosemont Mine with Ray Carroll. He revealed some information just came in about apparently the
air quality permit.
Save the Scenic Santa Rita folks won a battle today. You had a big kind of a piece in the Green Valley News about a five-year Rosemont Mine study that was done with the U of A. What was the bottom line?
Well, when I was out there in 2010, I noticed that they're doing something up there on the rocks, and I was asked about it, and they just kind of kept notes of it and kept in contact with them. But basically what they've done is, if the mine is approved, they've done this study on what the area might look like after they're done, you know, in 20, 25 years. In other words, revegetating the land, and what they call it is an encouraging growth of native species. They did a five-year study with the University of Arizona. If you go on our website, gvnews.com, you can see before and after pictures. I'll tell you this, if this all goes through, it'll look a lot better than the tailings that we have down in Green Valley. They'll actually be green. Is that enough for a lot of people? Probably not, but what they're saying is that this is what we can do for the area. It may not look as bad as you think. However, you're still going to have a mile-wide hole.
And you're counting on them to follow through on those promises, which is also, you know, that's a long way in the future, and we'll see.
And we have a new owner.
And are they bound by these promises or not? They're saying they'll follow through on them, but we don't know. And Hudbay does have deeper pockets than Augusta. Augusta basically was driven to the edge of their financial wherewithal and ended up agreeing to what was essentially a hostile takeover by Hudbay. But Hudbay has some financial issues of their own with some of their mines that are
in Peru, I believe.
Yeah, there's some mines down in Latin America where they're running into some issues with the indigenous people protesting and they're not working as well as they had hoped. So there may be, you know, even financial issues with Hudbay. We'll have to wait.
You
and
know
see
what I find
how that plays out.
Excuse me, Jim, but what I find fascinating, the comparison between Augusta, the company that kind of began this process with the mine, and Hudbay, how Hudbay has basically just disappeared from the radar screen. As far as the media and very low key.
Right, but they again realize, and we brought this up with Ray, it's not a popularity contest. Now, I will say that they are active in our schools. They're pumping money into the community in various ways, JTED program, things like that. So they're out there, but you're right, they are very much below the radar. But remember this, when they came in, they met with us this summer, and in that initial meeting, and it was the CEO who was there, they said, yeah, we're coming on down and we're going to look for other opportunities down here. To which I thought, well, thank you, that's the lead to the story. That kind of blew up on them, because the next day they met with the Arizona Daily Star, who said, what you told them, is that accurate? They said, yes, it is. And so, boom, at that point, they just kind of went underground. And they don't have to fight a public battle, though. And I think that they realize that. And as we point out, they have an awful lot of money. I don't know that there's a financial issue.
And we will see. And of course, there's still a question of this EPA clean water permit that, that needs to go through with the Corps of Engineers. And that's being held up. But, you know, whether or not they can come up with mitigation measures that will be acceptable to the EPA remains to be seen.
Jim, I'm curious about your take on the arrest of Mr. McLean, who was kind of one of the organizers of the pod people,
the dream pods,
the dream pods,
right,
homeless people who live in these coffin like structures. For folks that don't know what's going on, they call them pods,
dream pods,
and the reason some might even say alleged homeless people, because they've been offered, some of these people, a chance to get off the street, but have said they'd rather live.
Well, you know, this tiny house movement is a big thing. I don't know that the dream pods are ideally what we're
Bisbee,
talking about.
Ready for export
Tombstone,
anywhere in the world.
Makes sense Tombstone. Because they are coffin-shaped. Yeah. I guess if
ready
you live
for
near
export.
Boot Hill, you take your inspiration from that famous cemetery. It's been a bad week for the Dream Pod folks down there. The arrests last night kind of capped a week where the city of Tucson has. I was at the council meeting earlier this week where they talked about how they can deal with this. They're looking at revising their urban camping ordinance to see if
to
they
move
can
move them to some vacant land. I wonder if that's still on the table after what happened yesterday.
That's an excellent question. But they're definitely trying to move to get these guys on the way. It was a packed house at the council chambers. You know, there were advocates for both the folks in the park, but also a lot of members of the business community, the Visit Tucson people, the various restaurants downtown, the Fourth Avenue Merchants Association, because they just feel like this situation has gotten out of hand. You saw the county cited the city these health violations. I guess they were using a vent that led down into the county parking garage
Human waste was found in that area. Yes. Yeah. Oh, so, my goodness.
So there's all kinds
And for folks who aren't following this closely, there was an arrest through a sting operation of alleged drug dealing. Mr. McLean, one of the organizers, was arrested, and I believe up to a dozen other people. And there's supposedly more arrests coming. So I think this could change the whole dynamic.
I have a feeling, this is not going to last much longer. I don't know how comfortable those pods are going to be come June. Anyway,
but Jim, you know,
put swamp coolers on them, perhaps.
You know, maybe I'm a little sheltered being down in Sorita, where that I know of, we have no homeless people. Yes. However, that this area has 3,000 of them, according to a report in the Star, 3,000 who are sheltered. That to me just seems like an extremely high number. And I'm thinking, good, maybe we can not focus on the pod people, focus on these. Mm-hmm. How can we help these folks? Because really is a good question.
And that's a point that, you know, I've talked with Steve Kosachik about this. And it was a point that came up at the council meeting. The fact is the city offers a lot of money to social service agencies that try to help people who are homeless who want to be helped. But as we read in the Arizona Daily Star last week, you know, those agencies have been down there trying to talk to these people, and they're not interested in that kind of help. And I get that. I mean, there are people on the streets who are mentally ill who are going to make bad decisions. There are people on the streets who just don't want to, you know, do what the man wants them to do.
Sure.
And so they're going to reject, you know, the services that are available. But I think the community certainly does make an effort to help folks who are down on their luck. And homelessness is not just these guys, bums on the street. You know, it is single moms with kids and all kinds of folks. So.
All right. We're going to have to wrap it up. The Green Valley Hospital delayed?
Just for a very short, it should be opening right around May 1.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Jim Nintzel and Dan Scheer with us on the Friday Roundtable. Jim and Dan, have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right. We will be back with our weekend watch right after this.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. The Tucson Festival of Books is a celebrated event everyone looks forward to, and Arizona Party Rental is glad to be a part of it. Now here's someone with some exciting news.
This is Brenda Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. This year is a benefit for literacy concert featuring a unique group of well-known authors called the Rock Bottom Remainders. Band members include Scott Turow, Dave Berry, Sam Berry, Mitch Albin, Amy Tan, Ridley Pearson, Greg Isles, and Alan Swibel. The concert will be Friday, March 13th at 8 p.m. at the U of A Student Union Ballroom. Tickets are available at TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
Hey, thanks a lot, Brenda.
Hi, this is Dave Barry with the Rock Bottom Remainders. We'll be in Tucson playing at the Tucson Festival of Books. How good a band are we?
Hey, Dave, let me take it from here. Don't miss author supergroup the Rock Bottom Remainders at this year's Tucson Festival of Books. For tickets, go to TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
We're that good.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
All right, Twist and Shout music for our weekend. It's Matt Russell, Weekend Watch, brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. What a great weekend getaway it makes to Silver City. Historic downtown with its galleries, antique stores, museums, and restaurants. New York Times says a road trip destination among those willing to drive for a good meal. Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org. Full listing of the great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Little Toad Creek Inn, and all the things to do. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and the food and beverage editor, columnist for Inside Tucson Business. Matt, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great. You know, hard to believe a week ago today, I was in 8 inches of snow in Flagstaff. Fast forward 7 days, sunny and 75. I am glad I'm a Tucsonan, Bill.
Yeah, as soon as that wind dies down, I'll really enjoy the weekend. Maybe just in time for happy hour.
Exactly. You know, we're thinking about our friends on the East Coast shoveling snow this afternoon. How about planning a little al fresco happy hour to rub it all in, sushi style, today at Ra in La Encantada? And I love Ra's happy hour because of their deep discounts on an array of rolls and other edibles, along with some innovative beverages that would really maximize the patio party today. Plus, Ra just rolled out a new seasonal menu that calls on the flavors of spring, like a new tempura sweet potato roll with a sweet eel sauce. You know, happy hour is just 2 short hours away, so plan on kicking your weekend off today at Ra.
Another opening, another show.
Yeah, we here at Weekend Watch, always excited to announce the opening of new restaurants across town, and a new place just opened up in St. Philip's Plaza that got our attention. It's called Amalur Lounge, and it's in the old Plaza's bodega space. And owners say this is about new American cuisine that crosses several continents, and some of the featured menu items are several varieties of bruschetta, a dry-rubbed New York strip, and some innovative skewers and even fritters. And I love to see some local brews anchor the beer menu, including suds from Tucson's own Barrio Brewing Company. I say make room on your calendar this weekend for the Amalur Lounge, Bill. It sounds quite good.
I understand there's another opening.
Another new restaurant opened its doors this week, and you can experience their very first brunch on Saturday at a place called Nook on the corner of Congress and Stone. Think biscuits and gravy, hanger steak and eggs, and the Godfather Benedict that takes the classic breakfast dish to the next level with prosciutto and balsamic. We're always looking for a thoughtful morning meal, and we very well may have found what we're looking for at Nook downtown.
Drown my biscuits in that white gravy.
Attaboy.
Inside Tucson Business, the column this week, Matt.
Yeah, and the countdown to St. Patrick's Day, I caught up with a couple of guys from the local food scene who say that the Irish beer known as Guinness works just as well on a plate as it does in a pint. And yes, you can eat your beer, Bill, and you can learn how in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
I'll take a bowl of Guinness. How's that?
Count me in, sir.
All right, Matt, have yourself a wonderful weekend.
Back to you. Thanks so much.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Bill Buckmaster is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, the wonderful people here that make our life so easy at KVOI, Ed Alexander, who engineers my show Monday through Thursday, then Tom Fairbanks, engineering on Friday, picking out wonderful bump music. Our friend Ray Allen, he does a great job, and our executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, all of our friends who make our job so much easier. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a delightful weekend. Remember, thank you, Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works, perfectionautoworks.com, for all your automotive needs. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back.